This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Yes, it is on a Monday morning. Bogus is in the house filling in for Taz, who's off here on this Monday morning. Mark Melusis with you. It is Taz and the Moose as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Sam and Mike across the way. Andrew co-hosting with me and doing updates as we kick off this third and final hour. Let's get to it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Championship game set. Controversy on Saturday night.
Yeah, the title game is set tonight in Minneapolis. It will be Texas Tech and UVA. Now, obviously not the sexiest matchup in the world, but a title and the Nets will be cut down this evening. A 9:20 Eastern time tip between the Red Raiders and UVA Cavaliers. And Bogus and I discussed it the better part of the first hour plus on this morning's program. The end game and the missed double dribble call on UVA and Ty Jerome, and then you look at the foul call on Doughty at the end of the game on Guy, up to Auburn was. Guy goes to the free throw line, 0.6 seconds left in regulation, drains all threes, and sends UVA to the national championship game tonight. And you're starting to get this, you know, magic carpet ride, Cinderella. You look at the end of that Purdue game where they get that game-tying deuce to force overtime, eventually win it. They survive Carson Edwards going off and dropping in 42 points. You get the scenario that we saw on Saturday night with Virginia. You know, Tony Bennett and the Cavaliers, as we discussed last week, Bogus, when you were doing updates, the factor, you know, I don't know if UVA is here without that loss to Maryland Baltimore County last year as a 116 upset. And now you get a team that has been extremely focused and motivated. They're a better offensive team. And now tonight, it's going to be all about defense. I know people out there want to see offense and high-flying dunks. And you'll get some dunks and you'll get some offense tonight. Not a lot of it. The over-under number is quite low. A lot of people believe it's going to be the first of 50 wins tonight. Texas Tech is an extremely well-coached team by Chris Beard. So is Tony Bennett's Cavs team. You're talking about probably two of the better teachers of the college game throughout the country in Beard and Bennett. I'd probably say they're two top five coaches, and now they're playing for a national championship. Even though it might not be the prettiest game tonight, I think it will be an exciting game because I do think the game will be decided in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I asked Vin this question if anyway it doesn't end up being offensive, you know, a defensive throwdown of somehow we get points in this game, and it doesn't seem likely. I'm with you on the kind of first of 50 wins. It might not be pretty, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be dramatic. I think it's going to again come down to hopefully a non-debatable, non-controversial foul call. Hopefully there's no whistles legitimately. Yes. And somebody does something, that's how the game ends.
Nice job.
I want to take Texas Tech, but the Owens issue scares me. And I just wonder, it's not something that Tony Bennett writes on the board. It's not a scouting report thing. But things certainly do seem to be aligning fairly well for UVA right now. Maybe the universe matters and maybe the universe wants them to win and something again will break in their favor at the end of this one again tonight.
But let me ask you this. I mean, you could now a different team. I get it in different outcome. I mean, a lot of people after the UCF scare thought Duke was going to take off. After the Va-Tech scare, Duke was going to take off. They never did. And eventually playing those close games
burned you. Yeah.
And they eventually lost to Michigan State. UVA's played a lot of these close games. The more impressive team has been Texas Tech, right?
Yes.
Because everyone said, oh, Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo. They obliterated Buffalo.
Shame
and
them.
And then you look at the Michigan game. They embarrassed the Wolverines. Then they shut down the best scoring and most efficient offense in all of college basketball in their regional final. And then they go into the game on Saturday night where everyone's saying Izzo, 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 and they're anywhere from a 2 and a 2.5 point dog going into it. And they were by far the better team against the Spartans, against Michigan State on Saturday night. So you look at, I mean, Bogus, the more impressive team has been Texas Tech going into tonight. Now, losing a key player or having a player not be 100% healthy with an injured ankle in Owens, that's a concern.
It's a major concern for a number of different reasons. What he does, what they do, you know, their whole thing, and the guys pointed this out during the broadcast, I mean, they go deeper than most teams, and they especially go deeper than UVA in this matchup tonight. I think they had 19 bench minutes, UVA did on Saturday night. But they play deep, the Red Raiders do, because of this, the way they play defense. They need fresh legs, they need fresh bodies, guys get fouled, so you take anybody out of their normal rotation, and it messes things up. But Owens in particular, the way they funnel to guys, him, like Vince said, the way he actually blocks shots or just affects other ones, if he was healthy, if he's good to go, I'd be much more firm in telling that Texas Tech is going to win. But it scares me that he was in a boot yesterday.
Fair.
It also scares me that his head coach said if this was a normal Saturday to Monday kind of Big 12 turnaround, he probably wouldn't play tonight. But he's going to give it a go, which means he's legitimately hurt.
Yeah.
That scares me. And I just, part of me thinks they can't win without him, and they might not have him being him.
So you've changed your opinion.
Well, not if, I didn't change my opinion.
Right before the show, you like Texas Tech.
Now
you like Virginia.
I still do like them, but there's exponentially less confidence in that statement.
All right, so I'm getting a sense. By the time this game tips off,
Virginia by 10.
Bogus will have his Virginia gear on.
Yep, we're going to borrow some from Mikey B.
As this game does go along. Interesting stat to keep aware of. I think Seth Greenberg mentioned it on ESPN yesterday, the former Vatech coach, now ESPN analyst. Taking care of the basketball, always a key, especially when you're looking at a game where they're going to be limited possessions. It's not going to be a pace game. And we know how efficient both of these teams are defensively. What is Texas to? What do they thrive off of? Turnovers. They turn you over 24% of your offensive possessions. So if you like Virginia tonight, it's going to be on their set of guards, their trio of guards, to be able to take care of the basketball.
Which they did.
Which they've been able to do.
Eight turnovers in the last game.
Correct. They're going to have to be able to do it tonight as well against Texas Tech. Should be a fun one. And two unbelievable coaching jobs. It's not the matchup that's going to light up the nation. There's no Zion Williams. It's not two storied basketball programs, even though Virginia does have a little bit of history to them with Ralph Sampson and the like. I think it'll be a good game tonight. I think it'll be close and late, and that's all you can ask for when you're looking at a college hoops game.
Number two.
Nick Saban rants on players leaving early for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Saban, who, by the way, you want to hear something interesting that I didn't know about until I read, I think it was a Times piece over the weekend on Chris Beard. He loves Nick Saban, the Texas Tech coach. You realize Beard has left tickets behind the Texas Tech bench for Nick Saban, left them for him for the Final Four, leaving them for him for the championship game, has never met Nick Saban, but is such a believer in the way his coaching philosophy, not football and basketball, I'm talking about the way that he attacks the day, reads everything he can on Saban, has read all of his books, loves the way that he attacks his job. He's a big believer. Actually left Nick Saban tickets for the Final Four Saturday night. Didn't show up. He'll leave game tickets tonight. Probably not going to show up.
Saban know this?
I don't know if he knows it. He might be finding out right about it right now.
He's
listening to us do our program this morning.
They haven't met. That's fine. But maybe Chris Beard should let someone know who can let Nick Saban know that he's got tickets to the Final Four if he wants to.
Right. That's amazing. How about Saban?
Yeah, enough. Enough's on you. Seriously, it's the offseason. Get on my head. Leave me alone until September. I don't need any of this nonsense right now. And this because spare me the I'm looking out for the players. He cares about guys leaving his roster and having to find new guys to take their spot sooner than he would like to do it. That's what this is about. And I just don't buy it. I'm trying to protect these guys and keep them here until they're ready. And he was talking about Ronnie Harrison, who was a third-round pick, and he would be a first-round pick this year, make him $10 million more. Let Ronnie Harrison go to the NFL when Ronnie Harrison wants to go to the NFL. And then don't bring up his name in a snarky. I'm not going to name names, but he was a third-round pick, and his name rhymes with, Bonnie Marison. Enough, Nick. We get it. It's about you, and you're mad he left before you thought he should have. And that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, when he says the player that loses, and he brings up an example, and that's fine, but there are a number of guys that leave early that should leave early. They have nothing more to give to the college game, and they're looking at collegiate athletics as a stepping stone to the National Football League. That's what they're looking at. When they go to play for Nick Saban in Alabama, all due respect, for the most part, large percentage, it's not the love of Alabama football and the pride and tradition of the SEC. It's about putting them in the position to be the most successful, to get the best coaching and tutelage, Bogish, to get themselves NFL ready. That's what it's about. So yeah. We talk about misinformation. Are there guys that leave that shouldn't leave? Yeah, I wouldn't say that every guy that leaves a program early has made the right career choice, and they probably wouldn't have been better served staying in the college ranks. But the last thing you want to hear from is Nick Saban. As his house is being paid off a couple off seasons ago by boosters. The last thing you want to hear, and he's got a car dealership down in Alabama. Last thing I want to hear from is Nick Saban talking about whether or not or crying that guys are leaving too early for the NFL. Well,
and I just don't want to hear from any coach, and obviously he's been there for a while and he's probably never going to leave Alabama, but I just don't want to hear from coaches who move around at a whim after signing this and signing that. They go where they please. I don't want to hear them talk about players staying in school. I've got no patience for it. When they will bolt at the best opportunity when it pops up the next time.
Right. At the earliest, well, and right. Not necessarily in this example, but in numerous other examples of guys benefiting or off their player success, off their program success, and be able to either make more money at said program or go to a more higher profile program and leave that program. So, yeah, I don't disagree. Last guy you want to hear from is Saban about this, but there he is, Nick Saban, right from the pulpit. All right, next.
Number 3.
Antonio Brown now taking random shots at Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, at some point in time, somebody's got to pull Antonio Brown aside and say, shut up.
Yeah, good luck with that, Moose.
At some point, you got to stop. You got to stop. I mean, he is bringing up this Juju Smith-Schuster fumble against the New Orleans Saints down in New Orleans. And it was a bad fumble. And Juju Smith-Schuster was almost in tears after the game in that locker room, right? He's retweeting and quoting a tweet about him being by the Pittsburgh Steelers about Juju Smith-Schuster being the MVP of the team in 2018. I mean, you want to talk about it. If you're a Raider fan, you got to say, what are you doing? At some point in time, mentally, you got to move on. I thought it was all for him to just get away from Pittsburgh. He's out of Pittsburgh. He's now a member of the Raiders. Oakland, soon to be Las Vegas. Move on with your life. Your team hated you. So be it.
Moose, it appears that if Juju Smith-Schuster hadn't been voted Steelers MVP last year, Antonio Brown would still be a Steeler.
I think you're probably right.
Why is he so angry about this?
I think you're probably right. Because I feel like he felt disrespected.
I mean, move on. Did the players vote for this or the fans? It was the players, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but dude, come move on. Just move on.
I don't disagree with you, but I agree with that take. I think that is becoming more abundantly clear. I don't think this was him running a hot route during a practice before the Bengal game. I don't think it was anything with Roethlisberger. I don't think it was any of that. I think it was the fact of he looks at himself as clearly a better player than Juju Smith-Schuster. And what did in his relationship is that Schuster was voted team MVP and Antonio Brown was not. And he felt wholeheartedly disrespected. And he said, I got to get my rear end out of here. And if that never happened, I think Antonio Brown's still a Steeler.
And everybody's happy and they're moving on. They're the AFC North favorites. But no, can't get past it. Can't move on. And now, you know what? Everyone's kind of won in the moment because Antonio Brown got paid in Oakland. The Steelers are done with him, and yet he still keeps opening his mouth. And Juju, by the way, won the head-to-head on social media as well. Did a really good job in response.
Well, he did.
Davey's nonsense.
Well, I mean, he gave you a Mark Twain quote,
yes,
which you should always respect. There's that USC education coming into play. Good job by Juju Smith-Schuster.
Well, how'd he get in there?
No doubt. And yeah, he basically called Antonio Brown a fool. But here's the other thing. Do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers, before they announced the result of team MVP, when the votes came in and looked at it and said, you know what, maybe why don't we give it to Connor?
Yeah.
Why don't we give it to James Connor? We'll give, you know, maybe we'll give Juju Smith-Schuster a little bonus on the side and say, listen, we just for the locker room safe, we're going to give it to James Conner.
Right. Is there a lineman somewhere? Is Jesse James still around?
Give it to Roethlisberger. He's the leader of the team. Do something of that nature. But yes, I mean,
we lost the results. There's no MVP this year.
Brown looks like
do
a
it again
classless.
Next year.
Brown's a classless fool.
Still.
He just is. He doesn't stop. And I'd be bothered on a couple of things. Number one is he clearly still wants to be a Steeler. Number one. Number two is that would bother me if I'm the Raiders. I'm sitting there. I just traded for you. I just reworked your deal and gave you more guaranteed money. And even with all that, you're still on a random weekend in April going after Juju Smith-Schuster and the Steelers. I mean, it's not like they took your firstborn.
Right.
I mean, honestly, you got to move on.
Yeah, this is certainly, I mean, I didn't think it was going to end well anyway in Oakland, but you just keep going farther down that road with every post, every tweet, every whatever.
I thought once he got rid of the blonde mustache, I thought the antics were going to come to an end.
No, I think after that he released the phone conversation of Rosenhaus giving him the update on what's going on and mentioning Belichick checking in.
It doesn't
end. And now we got this. But I will say this, Juju is good in response now. No more. No need to respond
further.
If it happens again, let it go. You've won. Move on yourself.
There you go. That's the three here on this Monday morning. You got the national title game tonight. It's Virginia against Texas Tech. You certainly got the antics of Antonio Brown continuing and Nick Saban on his pulpit saying, you know, it's not right. You should not leave early. Guys making bad choices. Stay in college. Yasiel Puig tried to take on the entire Pittsburgh Pirates, the entire team. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose, Taz off, Bogus in the house. You'll let you know where you're locked in. 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, here on this Monday morning, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 is your number to call. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. We'll get into a little Reds-Pirates brawl yesterday. We'll chat about that here momentarily. Bogus is ready to update us on everything in the world of sports.
And it is all sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Moose, she hit game winners in last year's Final Four and national title game. Last night in Tampa, Notre Dame's Arike Ogunbowale at the free throw line with a chance to tie the game, but she missed the first free throw, trying to miss the second she hit it. The Irish couldn't get the ball back, and Baylor won 82-81. The Lady Bears joining UConn and Tennessee as the only programs to win three or more national titles. Chloe Jackson led them last night with 26 points, including the tie-breaking hoop with 3.9 seconds to go. Texas Tech and Virginia take their turn 9:20 Eastern in Minneapolis. Neither program has won this title before. In fact, they've never been in this game before. Red Raiders forward Tariq Owens did not practice yesterday after hurting his right ankle Saturday against Michigan State. Head coach Chris Beard expects Owens to play, but admitted he'd likely sit out if this was a normal 48-hour turnaround between games. Duke's Zion Williamson is the Naismith Player of the Year. Purdue's Carson Edwards is leaving for the draft, and Nevada's Eric Musselman is the new head coach at Arkansas. The Houston Rockets broke their own single-game NBA record last night against the Suns.
Rivers left side foul unextended. Shoots a three. Hits it! That's 27! An NBA record! 27 threes tonight for the Houston Rockets.
That's Craig Ackerman.
How many did they take?
That's a good question. They were blowing out the Suns, so they kept shooting them to get the record. They had twice gotten 226 this season, matching their record. They finally break it last night. They won 149-113. Houston's now a half game behind Denver for the 2 seed. The Nuggets
57,
losing.
57, not bad.
Not bad, 50%.
No, 40, I mean, they shot 47.4%. I thought it would be much higher than that. 47 of 57 is not bad.
No, the Nuggets losing in Portland last night, 115-108. The 1 seed officially belongs.
They took 100 shots in the game.
At the end, like, the crowd was chanting. They were, you know, they had could goof around. They were taking threes on purpose.
They took 100 shots in an NBA basketball game.
Well done by the Suns.
Dude, that is insane. They were 53 of 100 from the floor. I mean, that's insane.
You can't score 149, Moose, easily.
No, I understand. No, I get it. It just it is a little jarring if you've watched a lot of NBA basketball over your year where you see a team take 57 threes and 100 shots.
How many offensive rebounds did they have?
Offensive rebounds, they had 12.
12, okay. The Warriors beat the Clippers last night 131-104 in the final regular season game at Oracle Arena. That gives Golden State the number one seed in the West. Cody Bellinger, his seventh home run of the young season, a solo shot in the Dodgers' 12-6 win in Colorado last night. The Rockies have now lost 7 of 8 since starting 2-0. U.S. women's soccer routed Belgium 6-0 in a World Cup tune-up in L.A., and the Florida Panthers just named Joel Quenneville their new head coach. Moose?
All right, so yesterday is Bisseglia's. How many shots for that one?
The Kings took 109 shots yesterday.
I mean, it's just I find it jarring to see it. But, hey, we'll see exactly. Maybe if they go 27 of 57 from three consistently in the NBA playoffs, no one's going to beat them. I mean, honestly, if they take that many threes and hit at that kind of percentage, nearly 48%, they're going to be your NBA champs. All right, so mention it going to break, a little baseball in the mix, because it's not a matter of who's off to a good start, who's not. It's always an intriguing story when you get a bench-clearing brawl, as you did yesterday between the Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Reds outfielder, right fielder, Yasiel Puig, one of five ejected after a benches-clearing incident in the top of the fourth inning. 7-5 loss for the Reds, the Pirates, yesterday at PNC Park. So you look at this scenario, what happened? Pirates starter Chris Archer threw a 93-mile-an-hour fastball behind Reds first baseman Derek Dietrich that sparked the incident. Dietrich had homered in the second inning and had stared at his blast before circling the bases.
He liked it a little bit.
Which apparently obviously bothered Archer.
Yeah, bothered me too. For some reason, Derek Dietrich, he was a Marlin before this, and he's a fine player, multiple positions he can hit. There was just something about him that bothered me. He had a big gold chain going on. He's got a little, a little
swag
punk to him. Yeah, and I get it. And it's good. It's the way sports should be. Like, he was a good guy to root against. So I get, and then he'd certainly admire the home run yesterday. So I get, and Archer is easily perturbed by those things. So we led to this.
So, right, warnings issued for both teams. Bell came onto the field to argue with home plate umpire Jeff Kellogg. Right, that should have been ejected. Players from both teams began to push one another, and then Puig got involved to the point where he charged pitchers Trevor Williams. He tried to put one of the coaches, Tom Prince, the bench coach, into a headlock. Archer, after the game, said he was trying to go in. I aired a couple
gag.
Of balls today.
Yeah, I missed
a couple I was
sometimes.
Trying to elevate, a couple that I yanked when righties were up there. Another one that I just yanked, I missed my spot. Now, Puig said something very, I thought very intelligently after the game. Pitchers shouldn't try to hit batters because a batter can't retaliate in the same way, saying, don't try to hit the guy because we can't defend you back because we can't hit you with a bat or nothing.
Yeah. I know, that's my favorite quote so far.
That's a great quote.
We're 10 games in, and right. I don't know if we're going to get a better one than that.
Right. We can't defend ourselves. Right. So. Imagine you throwing a guy, he brings the bat at, about at, bat out to the pitcher's mound. I mean, it's the age-old argument about, old school, new school, right? It's the age-old argument whether or not of showmanship, between showmanship and showing a guy up. And what's the proper way to conduct yourself as a baseball player? Now, you go back to 1960 and you watch a home run that you hit, 400 feet bogus, you're going to get plunked to your next at bat. I mean, that comes down to it. Now in 2019, guys want to do bat flips. They want to embrace the bat flip. They want to watch the ball go over the fence before they give you the Jeffrey Leonard type of trot around the bases.
That's a good reference.
Or the Ricky Henderson double tap around the bases. I mean, they want to do all that and then have no repercussions whatsoever. So, I mean, I get the idea of that as boring as baseball players are viewed at times, Bogish. I get the idea of baseball wanting to embrace personality more and allowing guys, when they do something like hit a home run, allowing them to enjoy the moment more now than ever before.
I feel like this would be the time where Taz would say, I was watching this game. Not all of it, but I was watching this game.
Right.
I wasn't watching it yesterday. I went back and watched it through the MLB app after the fact. And the oddity was, the guy who was least angry at all of this was Derek Dietrich, who had the ball zip past him. He just, you know, he dropped his arms. He looked at it, Archie, said, okay, fine. Like, he was prepared to just go to first base and be done with this. But then Belk, the manager, comes flying on the field. He meets the umpire like halfway between home and the mound as he's giving warnings, yep, asking why Archer's not getting thrown out. And still, Dietrich hasn't done anything yet. And I don't even know if Archer's paying attention to him. And then all of a sudden, there's just Reds coming out of their dugout. The Pirates have to match that. And then there's Puig trying to fight his way through Joey Votto, Melky. And he's calmed down once. And then Francisco Cervelli restarts things. And that's when he comes back around, tries to go through everybody else. So it's the dugouts were the angry ones here. The two guys involved, there was not going to be a fight if it was just Archer and Dietrich, but everybody else got worked up, and we had a mini melee.
No, we did.
And a great picture, an all-time still shot from behind home plate of a dude wrapped around Puig's right leg as he's bending over, trying to go through like eight Pirates.
I think that was Barnhart.
The fight coming through. I mean, it is an all-time baseball picture yesterday.
No, that is, and Puig, we know, is absolutely ripped.
He's a monster.
You're right, no doubt about it. I mean, he is a very, very thick outfielder for the Cincinnati Reds now, and we know how good he was with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, listen, I look at this scenario, and for Major League Baseball, I mean, where do you fall? Where do you fall on this in terms of, yes, I mean, Dietrich went to first base. Archer probably maybe expected to get thrown out. I think it's a fair point by the Cincinnati Reds to say, okay, why is he not getting thrown out of the game at that stage? Warnings were put out. But for the home plate umpire, your job there is to prevent exactly what transpired. But I think you look at old school, new school Major League Baseball, where do you fall, Bogus? Are you a guy that... You don't mind when guys, even when you watch the Dietrich home run, which sailed 436 feet, you said, well, you looked at it a little bit too much. What's too much?
Yeah, I think...
I mean, are you going to give guys 5 seconds? Are you going to give guys, 2 seconds? I mean, what's too much? What's the line on the bogus meter about enjoying a 436-foot home run? You want to see a bat flip? You want to see a little twirl, the Barry Bonds twirl? I mean, what do you want to see? What's too much?
Yeah, I've got a pretty, I don't know, a long line, a far line, a deep line. I don't know what the correct geographical reference is, but I've got room for a lot of things to happen. Every once in a while, a guy needs to be reminded of the way things go, but we're skewing way too sensitive these days, where guys can have no fun, where guys can do nothing personal. Baseball's trying to make it, you know, more acceptable. And I think the guys on the field need to understand what's going on now. Chris Archer's mad at Derek Dietrich for hitting a home run like that. Then don't let him hit a home run like that.
That's fair. Now, okay, say if I have Chris Archer gets a big-time strikeout. Can he jump around and celebrate on the mound
as
well?
Yeah, I think there are certain things where you can go stomping off the mound and slap your glove or even, and I don't love it, but that does like the archery thing, like,
Fernando Rodney.
Yeah, the closer Fernando Rodney. I think you can do a couple of things. But again,
that's after save, though.
And
that's
I found out, and I used to really not like it, and shame on me, it actually has a real story behind it. I think it's a reference to his dad or something. So then all of a sudden I can't, you know, that's the whole different ball game. But I think we should let these guys have fun. There's still a way where, you know, dirty slides in a second base. You can't,
well, that's different.
If it's 9-1, you can't be admiring a home run in either direction.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that still, I think, can warrant the ball in the back. But then even that, like, we need to – what Archer did is the way you do it. You put a ball behind a guy or in his backside where it's not going to be a worst-case scenario. Well, you can't be throwing at guys' heads,
that's the issue I have. See, I don't mind guys enjoying their art and their craft. I don't mind a guy hitting a home run and enjoying it. But I also think that there's a position there that if you're going to do that, you have to have the understanding that the next time up, potentially, if that pitcher is in the game and is ticked off,
right,
that you could be facing a little bit of an intimidation pitch.
Right.
As long as that pitch does not go anywhere near the players' heads. I don't mind it. You hit a guy in the rear end, you hit him on the thigh, you hit him in the middle of the back, you do something of that nature to basically say knock it off. That, to me, that's part of baseball. I think that's going to continue to be a part of baseball. The issue I would have is when guys celebrate and then the pitcher retaliates.
And they get mad.
And then they get mad.
Yeah.
Because you can't have it both ways.
No. It's got to be a two-way street.
Or if the pitcher throws at the guy's head, there's no need for that either. And we've seen guys do that before in the past, too. Or if they're throwing it at their hands. And that's the other thing. Because you have to understand, the pitcher that goes up there and says, well, a couple got away from me. No. You're looking at guys that are so good at what they do to be able to throw the ball 98, 99 miles an hour, basically within inches at times, if their location is off, of where the catcher is setting up. So the idea of Chris Archer going out and telling you, well, it got away from me. Guys know exactly what they're doing when they're on the mound.
And can throw the ball to a dime.
Correct. So the idea that a guy does not know where a ball is going is complete and utter nonsense. So when you hear that, what they're doing is protecting their own rear end. They're not going to come out and say, yes, I intended to throw it behind Derek Dietrich yesterday after he admired the home run earlier in the game. That's not going to happen. But you can't get the overreaction from the Reds yesterday, and that was a complete and utter overreaction.
Yes.
It really was.
You can't be angrier than the guy who got thrown at. And Dietrich wasn't angry. He wasn't going out there.
No, he was not.
The bench is the one that started this, and that can't happen either. You got to at least take your cue from the guy who's the quote unquote victim in this. If he wants to go out there, then you got to go out there to protect him. But you can't be running past him to get to the pitcher.
Well, it's almost like the Reds said, "We're going to lose the game. We're not going to lose the fight."
I still love. Thank God for Puig. I mean, I really need him to be. Baseball needs. He needs to be a good player.
Because, well, he's a gift to us all.
Exactly. And I don't want fights all the time, but we just need gems like, I can't hit with a bat, so why don't you just strike me out instead?
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Bogus is in the house. Taz and the Moose with you. Mark Melusis. As we come back, we've got the undercard for you right here, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Oscar De La Hoya, and you're listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
And do one more, and I'll add, do Taz and the Moose, and that'll be perfect.
Hey, what's up? This is your boy, Oscar De La Hoya, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Sweet. All right. Oscar, all right, man. You got it, guys. Thanks, man. Thanks, man. Good luck. All right.
Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Tina up in Rhode Island. O's Chris Davis is now 0 for his last 44. Will he ever get a hit again? That's a good question.
You want to
talk about bad contract?
I guess it was the first Yankee Oriole game of this series,
yeah.
And he struck out, and I mean they were in full throat, just destroying him with booze.
He stinks.
I mean, he's terrible, but it's also inexplicable to be 0 for your last 44. Now, obviously, it's disconnected between an offseason, and I assume he got a hit in spring training. But I mean,
right.
My goodness.
Well, it's a terrible contract, and everyone said it at the time. And
right.
At that stage, he was actually hitting. I mean, and he was a really good offensive player. But you know, remember when he went into free agency, and there was nobody who was offering him that kind of a deal. And you look at Chris Davis now at 33 years of age. But at one point in time, a guy that started this year 0-for-23, at one point in time, you got to look back. I mean, in 2013. He went for 53-138 and played 160 games. Then 26-72, 47-117, 38 home runs in 2016. Last year, only had 26. 2 years ago, 26. Last year, only 16 home runs, 49 RBIs, and hit .168.
Yeah, and
look at the precipitous drop-off. You look at the high water mark. When he hit 53-138, his batting average was .286. He followed that up the next year by hitting .196. 262, 221, 215, 168. And now he's 0-23 to start the year. I mean, it's brutal.
Yeah, and I don't like saying things so yell
terrible
at me
deal
without any kind of proof. So you can yell at me all you want. I mean, when a guy just disappears like that, your mind starts to go to things like maybe he thinks
right.
he's not doing anymore
right.
that yeah. he was doing.
What but, calisthenics?
Well, no, I mean illegal calisthenics. But on the flip side, like there's no way that Major League Baseball has the best testing policy of all time. If he still wanted to do illegal calisthenics, he could find illegal calisthenics that wouldn't be detected by baseball's tests. So then that theory almost goes out the window. It makes sense in general, but the specifics of 0-23 with 13 Ks and hitless in his last 44 big league at-bats, those things are not supposed to happen.
No.
And falling off a cliff like he has, not just for one season, where you could explain it in a lot of ways. You know, he could have a family issue off the field. You know, anything can mess you up. But this is now in a multi-year free fall, and there's no end in sight.
And he's due, I think the number is like $85 million.
It's infinity, basically.
Right?
It's just crazy.
It's almost, if I were him, I'd like want to get bought out of my contract so I can go out. Like, it's got to be, like, when he steps up to the batter's box, he's got to expect failure at this stage.
Yeah, I mean,
and there is no pressure if you're a Baltimore Oriole because the team stinks. There's one guy that's facing pressure, and it's Chris Davis.
Right.
Everyone else, they're all brutal.
Yeah, it's like, what can I get?
And Chris Davis is not good. I'm not telling you he's not, but he's getting paid to be like a superstar.
What did David Wright have again? Can I get that?
Right. Don't forget, you can submit a question. Yeah, can I work in the front office? By going to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Keeping a car clean is simple and expensive form of maintenance. And O'Reilly Auto Parts has the cleaning and detailing products you need, including washes, waxes, polishes, leather, and vinyl care. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Clean car month. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. Championship Monday night in Minneapolis. Let's give you a pick. And who do you like, Texas Tech or Virginia? There we go. Thank you. Thanks, Sam.
Thought it was coming at some point.
I thought I teed it up properly.
And I thought it wasn't coming.
But secondly, I was talking to Sam. He was a little distracted. There we go. Thank you. I appreciate that. The music is here. Texas Tech is a 1.5-point dog. So Virginia minus 1.5. So if you like Texas Tech, I would probably tell you take them on the money line and get a little bit extra, a little extra bang for your buck. But who do you like in this one, Bogus?
As usual, what you just said makes no sense to me. I don't know what the money line is, so just listen to Moose. Don't listen to me. I mean, 1.5 points is so minuscule. I don't know how you even bet off of that. I still think Texas Tech wins this game. Outright, 53-50, 52-49, something like that. Whatever you bet tonight, the over-under, the money line, -1.5.
You like the Red Raiders to win the game outright.
You were sweating this thing to the very, 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 very end tonight.
I agree with you. I think any way you go, I think it's going to be a white knuckler. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be – here's the one thing that impressed you about Texas Tech. Vin hit upon it. We touched upon it a little bit bogus earlier on. What impressed you about Texas Tech, they beat Michigan State at Michigan State basketball. And there's a lot of teams that can't go in against Michigan State and be able to play that physical. Texas Tech did. Now, they're going up against a Virginia team that's a great defensive team. So is Texas Tech. You look at it, probably pound for pound, Texas Tech steps on the court with the most talented player of the group in Culver.
Yes.
He's going to be a top six, top seven pick in the NBA draft. So they've got that going for them. You can't tell me that after the run the Raiders have had, that the Virginia Cavaliers have got an edge at coach over Chris Beard and the job that he's done at Texas Tech with Tony Bennett. No, I think it's probably even. I think they're probably two of the best tacticians in the game. I know everyone thinks, Virginia's on a magic carpet ride, and I get it, and I think they've probably got a little bit more options offensively with Guy and Jerome. But I just think Texas Tech, the way that they have played has been so good, and they've dominated their competition at times. The likes of Michigan and Buffalo, and second half, they were clearly a better team than Gonzaga, the most efficient offensive team in college basketball this year. I'm going to side with you. I think I would not be surprised we're doing the show tomorrow morning and Virginia cuts down the nest. But I'm going to go with the game. What I felt yesterday, what I felt Saturday night after watching the national semifinals, I'm going to go with the Red Raiders at Texas Tech, so we're in agreement.
I need to know where you're going on the over-under, because that's an enticing number, 120. Record low. Lowest in 20 years, I think, for the national title game.
I hate betting unders.
Okay.
I do. I would probably take the over. 120, I'd probably take the over.
Oof.
But I'm going on the idea that both teams can get to 60 points. I'm not telling you, but Andrew, don't you think that things will loosen up a little bit tonight? I mean, you had Moody go for 22. Culver's not giving you 10 tonight. And
no.
You would think that Jerome, Guy, you would think that group offensively could put together enough. They're two well-coached teams to have an offensive game plan. Don't you think Virginia and Texas Tech, I'm not saying this game's played in the 70s, but don't you think this game could be 62-60 final, 63-59, well, something of that nature?
I mean, and all it takes is one team getting off a couple of extra threes and knocking them down.
Right.
So, and between Guy and Jerome and other, I mean, there's the possibility for that, which is kind of why I was asking Vin, is there any chance that this game actually is a little more offensive than we may expect
going in?
Well, and like Texas Tech. Now, defense first for sure. No doubt about that. Culver. They have other guys step up. They've been better as an offensive unit in the back half of the season. And it might not be the gaudiest of numbers, but they've gotten into these really super efficient stretches. I mean, they scored, I wrote it down, 38 points on 31 second-half possessions. If you're averaging more than a point per possession, you're doing a really good thing on offense. And they did that second half. So to me, you know, that may be the deciding factor in this game. That one spurt's going to come from them when they really lock in, whether it's Culver, Mooney, Moretti, whoever it is, and they make a push. Now, the context around that push is what matters. How long does the push go? What's the score when it starts? So, I mean, it could come to get them back in the game. It could come to take them further ahead of Virginia. It's going to come. It's how the Cavaliers, where they are when it starts, and how fast they deal with it that may defend the game here, to decide the game here tonight.
Now, Saturday night was not a great night. It was a good night in the Malusis household. Had a chance to be a great night. And what I mean by this is, with Virginia's victory, I took down the pool at SNY, the other job.
Well, congrats.
Right. So that was great. Now, I needed Michigan State to beat Texas Tech to take down the WFAN CBS Sports Radio pool.
Which one? There's a lot of Malusis entries in that one.
Well, it was Malusis 4.
Okay.
So I had an opportunity to do that. That would be rarefied air to win two company pools in one postseason run. And if Michigan State beat Texas Tech, I would have won that pool. I would have been able, and that would have been a nice chunk of change. I mean, I'm gonna win some money, which is great, which is always fun, and you know, it was a good, worthwhile investment. But I had an opportunity when that game was 52-51.
Mm.
My son Gregory's sleeping on my chest.
We're getting the deck.
I was rooting hard for the Spartans when Cassius Winston's shooting that brick in that three.
Open up the Amazon app. What do you kids want? It'll
exactly
be here by
right.
Monday.
Right.
Daddy's
who
got
wants
Prime.
Who wants a trike? I was close. Now, I took down the SNY pool. I had a chance for the WFAN CBS Sports Radio pool. Unfortunately, I'm going to finish in second. And it's winner take all.
I can't listen to every single second of the show. I have not heard Taz call you on this, but did you put in 8 different brackets of yourself or those Malusis family members, Malusis 1 through whatever?
Donna helped me out with a couple.
But I mean, they're theoretically all yours.
Correct.
Yeah, you should be disqualified from
that.
No,
that's not
true. One bracket.
No.
Yeah,
stop.
One
Enough
bracket.
Move
on. Well, certainly not 8.
You're there. I didn't do 8.
It's 4. You did 4 at least.
I did 5.
5.
Yeah.
That's more than halfway to 8.
It doesn't matter.
That's 3 too many.
You're there to win money.
Yeah, you're there to be smart at college basketball.
You're there to win.
Not hedge all your bets.
No, the goal is to win.
Mm.
And I invested.
I'm mad. I'm glad you didn't win.
Well, I invested $160 and I won. I did win. I won one pool at where I did 3. And this one I finished in second. I had a good run.
Eight.
It was a solid run.
Circling the internet.
Well, listen, if the goal is to win, is the goal to win? The goal is to win. I won the WFAN pool on 4 occasions.
Well, again, when you flood the competition
occasions
with brackets, you better win.
That's a good percentage.
It's Malusis rule.
That's
2 max next year.
Stop crying, Bogus.
Malusis
Sam, great
5.
Job. You're hired. Bisaglia, fantastic. I don't know. Bogus, have yourself a good Monday. Till tomorrow, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.